Okay, we're starting here on the top of Kuf Chav Daled Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Kol HaKelim Nitalim LeTzorech, Shelo LeTzorech. All utensils are taken both for necessity and not for necessity. Gemara will have to explain this. It's a cryptic statement of the Mishnah. And now we have Rabbi Nechemia, who we've bumped into a number of times through the Masechta. Rabbi Nechemia says, Ein Nitalim Elo LeTzorech. Kelim are only taken for their primary purpose. So, Mai LeTzorech or Mai Shelo LeTzorech? Of course, the Gemara's first question is exactly this cryptic statement in the Mishnah. What does it mean that you take Kelim, Letzarech, and Shalom Letzarech? So, Amar Rabbo. So here the possibility of the Girsa is either Rabbo, or the Rif and the Rosh both have Abaye as the author of this position. We bumped into Abaye, who had a clear layout of his position when he argued on Rava. Rabbo, we had at the beginning of the Perek, where Rabbo said that the Tzorech Gufo is Mutar, but we didn't have any other information about him, so it's not clear what his other stance is. So it's possible that Rabbo is the author of this position over here, although it would match up better with Abaye's position, because the layout here is almost identical to Abaye's position. It says, the Tzorach means, Davar Shemachto Leheter, it comes to a utensil that is used for Heter, Tzorach Gufo. Shelo Letzorach is Davar Shemachto Leheter, Letzorach Mikomo. Therefore, by it comes to a utensil that is otherwise Mutar on Shabbat, you're allowed to use it for Tzorach Gufo, and Tzorach Mikomo. On the other hand, Davar Shemlachto Leisur, when it comes to a utensil that's normal utilization is for something that is Asur, Tzorach Gufo in, Tzorach Mikomo, lo. Therefore, Tzorach Gufo will be okay, but Tzorach Mikomo will not be okay. So this we clearly seen in Abaye's position when he explained the progression from the Chemia, the Navi, to our Mishnah, what had happened and what transpired. He said over there that Gleish Mato Lissur is only Mutar, the Gabe Tzorach Gufo, but not for Tzorach Mekomo. We've seen that in Abaye's position. As far as Rabba's position is concerned, again, we only saw that he said for Tzorach Gufo it's Mutar. We didn't hear anything about his position regards to Tzorach Mekomo. If you think Rabba is the author of this position, then his position turns out to be similar to Abaye, which Abaye is his Rabba's Talmud, so it wouldn't be so far-fetched to say that Abaye was like his Rebbe Rabba. Ve'ata Reb Nechemia, and then Reb Nechemia comes along to say, L'meimar v'afilu d'var shemachto le'eter, even a utensil that's normal usage is for eter, there, Tzorach Gufo in, Tzorach Mekomo lo. Reb Nechemia limits it to its primary utilization, and therefore only Tzorach Gufo would it be mutar, even Bikli Shemlachto Leheter. So Amalei Rova, we here have Rova arguing, we know already that Rova believes Bikli Shemlachto Leisur. You can use it both for Tzorach Gufo and Tzorach Mekomo. So therefore he's going to read the Mishnah differently, and for the same reason that he did before, which is, when you say something is Mutar Letzorach, Tzorach Mekomo, Shelo Letzorach Garibay. Tzorach Mekomo is called not for its need, not for a purpose. That's not true. Tzorach Gufo and Tzorach Mekomo come as a package. They're the same deal. They're both ways to utilize the item in a way that should be mutar on Shabbat. Elo Amar Rava, Tzorach is Davar Shemlachto Leheter. Ben Letzorach Gufo, Ben Letzorach Mekomo. When it comes to the Tzorach, it means something that is otherwise mutar to use on Shabbat, that you're allowed to use both for Gufo and Mekomo. Shelo Letzorach means Afilu Michama Letzel. Even to simply move the item from the sun into the shade. Again, here you're not going to use it. You don't need a need for the space it's sitting on. You simply want to protect the item from getting ruined. That is mutar on Shabbat. Even it's not the tzorech. It's not for your needs. Gufo and mekomo are specifically your needs. Here the shalol tzorech is because it's for the tzorech of the item. It's the item's needs, not your needs. And that's called shalol tzorech. V'divarish melachto l'isur. What you can infer from here is that melachto l'isur is different. It's different in this way, that tzorech gufo and tzorech mekomo in. Melachto l'isur, both for gufo and mekomo, it's permitted. Mecham l'tzel, lo. Move a klish melachto l'isur from the sun into the shade to protect the item. That is not permitted. And this is Rava the Shita that we saw before. V'ata Reb Nechemia l'meimar afilu davar shemachto le'eter tzorach gufo tzorach mekomo in michama letzel lo. And Reb Nechemia comes to say that when it comes to an item that's heter, tzorach is both gufo and mekomo. So even Reb Nechemia will agree that you can move the item if it's heter, if you need that space. What he doesn't agree with is that michama letzel, you're not allowed to move it from the sun into the shade. Yati Rav Safra Rav Achar Bar Huna Rav Huna Bar Chanina. And they said like this, the Rabbo, Aliba de Rem Nechemia. Rabbo, according to Rabbi Nechemia, Hanika wrote, Hecha mitau talinan. These plates that we have on the table, how are we able to move them? Now, glue, they're not talking about the plates before the meal, they're talking about the plates after the meal. Once you've eaten your meal, You've used the plates. Now you want to remove the plates from the table. What's the reason you can remove the plates from the table? Tzorach mekomo. You want your table to be cleared. You want to use the table. That's tzorach mekomo. Problem is now that, according to Rabba's explanation, or Abaye, depending which girsa you have, in Rabbi Nechemya, the only thing you're allowed to move a plate for is tzorach gufo. This isn't tzorach gufo. This is tzorach mekomo. How do you remove the dirty plates from the table, according to Rabba, in Rabbi Nechemya's position? It's no different than a graf shorei, because the plates that are dirty sitting on the table are disgusting, and you're allowed to remove garbage or other items that are ma'us from the house on Shabbat, even though they're muksa, because you're allowed to clear out things that would make it unpleasant for you to be there. So just like the dirty dishes on the table would upset you and make it unpleasant for you, so you're allowed to remove them not because they're not muksa, not because of any tzorach mekomo issue, it's simply because they're a graf shorei, they're disgusting. Amar le Abaye le Rabba, the Mar, so Abaye says to his Rebbe, Rabba, the Mar, he's addressing his Rebbe, Alibid Rebbe Nechemya, Haini Karot, Eche Metel Dalin and Lehu, how do they carry them? Amar le Rav Safra Chavrin, Targuma. Safrin, our friend, already explains this, Din, that's what we just saw in the prior say, Midava graf shorei. So Abaye himself posed the question directly to Rabba, in his position of Rabbi Nechemya, how do you remove the dirty plates from the table? And he says, Rav Safra already explained on my behalf that this is a graf shel rei. Etve Abaye the Rovo, Meducha Sheshba Shum, Metaltilinota. This Abaye has posed this question a number of times from this Braita, which is that if we have a mortar that is full of garlic, Metaltilinota, we can carry it. Vimlav, if not, Ein Metaltilinota. Not, you can't carry it. Implying that tzorach gufo, tzorach mekomo are not the heterim here for the mortar. Only because there's garlic in it are we allowing you to move it. Without the garlic, we wouldn't allow you to move it. That's just not true according to Rabba's position, because you have other alternatives like tzorach mekomo that should allow you to move it. The hachamai eskina, and here the Gemara gives the same answer gave on the previous daf, which is michama letzel. It's moving it from the sun to the shade. So in that case, michama letzel, you can't move it because it's a kli shemalachto b'yisur. Kli shemalachto b'yisur is only allowed to be moved for tzorach gufo and tzorach mekomo. Here, the need to move it is because you want to protect the item. The only way you can protect the item is if it has garlic inside of it. If it has garlic inside of it, then it's a kli shemalachto b'yisur, but it has heter in it, which allows you to move it. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to move it, even according to Rava. Etevei v'shavim shim kitzev alav basar shasur l'taltulo. This goes back to the machloket Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, with the cutting of the meat on the eli. The eli was a large, thick cutting board or smashing board that they used to use to crush the wheat on. So generally, we wouldn't use it for anything else, but we said that you permitted, according to Beit Hillel, to use it to cut meat on Yom Tov, on because of Simchat Yom Tov. But they both agree, that's why the Veshavin, Shim Titzav Alav Basar, have you already cut meat? Shasur the Taltlo, you can't carry it anymore because it's muksim. It's a davar, Shemalachto the Isur. It says, Achanami Michama Litzel. Again, here, we're talking about moving it from Chama Litzel, and it's a Kli Shemalachto the Isur, therefore you can't move it at all. Then you could use it because of Simchat Yom Tov. Then it would be Tzorach Gufo. Tzorach Gufo to move it in order to cut the meat on it. Even though an Eli really has the status of a Kli that is Asur Mit Machmat Chisaron Kis. We saw yesterday that there's a dispensation for Simchat Yom Tov. That's why Beit Shammai says no way, you can't cut it at all. Beit Hillel says because of Simchat Yom Tov, we'll give you a dispensation to use it in order to cut the meat on, so that it won't be classified as a muksa. But that's before you cut the meat. Once the meat's cut, you can't do that anymore. What about this Mishnah? You're not allowed to hold up the pot with a log of wood. Also the doorway. A log of wood on Yom Tov is considered to be heter. On Yom Tov, you're allowed to make fires, transfer fires. You're allowed to cook. So a log of wood, as opposed to Shabbat, where you can't do any of that, so the log would be muksa, because it's isur, by Yom Tov, it's heter. Alma davar shemlachto heter, ben letzorach gufo, ben letzorach mekomo, asur. Over here, we're not allowing you to use it, or utilize it, in order to support the kdeira. And this is a davar shemlachto heter, and you're not allowed to use it at all. You can't move it. Why not? Where it says, no. Hata my time off. The reasoning there in that Mishnah is, Kevin de Bishabbat, Tavarish Malach Tol Yisur, since in Shabbat this log of wood would otherwise be asur, they made it gzera yom tova to Shabbat. They make gzera on yom tov that has the same status of muksa like it would on Shabbat. What do you want to say? Shabbat gufei tishtare. On Shabbat itself, it should be mutar. Something that otherwise is a sur on Shabbat, you're allowed to utilize it for tzorach gufo and tzorach mekomo. And over here, you want to place the gdeira on it. So you have a heter utilization for this item, and yet the Mishnah says you may not use it. Not only on Shabbat you can't use it, you can't even use it on Yom Tov. So you say, okay, Yom Tov atu Shabbat. But even on Shabbat, why is it asur? We don't understand it. Where it says, wait a minute. When do we say davar shemalach toli sur the tzorach uvo tzorach mekomo shari? Hani mili hecha de ikad torah kli alav. That's only when it's mugdar. It's designated. It's considered to be a kli. Hecha de leket torah kli alav. Lo. It doesn't have a shame kli on it. Then the din is not applicable. This is a very important principle here, that in order for something to be classified as davar shemalach toli heter or davar shemalach toli sur, it has to be a kli. It has to be a utensil. If it's not a utensil, then it doesn't go into one of those categories. So the rocks outside in your backyard, those rocks, even though they're asur, they're not a kli shemalach toli isur. They're muksa, what we call muksa machmat atzman. They are inherently muksa because they are not a utensil and they serve no purpose on Shabbat. Since you didn't have in mind for them before Shabbat, they're automatically out of your mind. Your mikatze et min adat. You don't think about the rocks in your backyard for usage or utilization on Shabbat. It's not within your world because it's not a kli, it's not a utensil. So therefore, if you want to take one of those rocks and use it as a doorstopper now, you can't do that because it's muksa. You'd have to designate that prior to Shabbat that it'd be a rock that you would use for a doorstop. If you've done that before Shabbat, then you've taken it out of the world of muksa and brought it into the world of Shabbat. But you can only do that prior to Shabbat. It doesn't have a status to be a kli. A kli brings it into the world of utilization. But once it's in the world of utilization, then you have these categories. Heter, isur, what can you do with it? But if it was never a kli, it's not in that category. And that's the story with this bigat. The bigat, the log of wood, is not a kli. It's not a kli, it's muksa, not because it's kli shemalach toli isur, kli shemalach toli heter. It's muksa because it's out of the world of Shabbat completely. Totally out of the world of Shabbat because it's not something that has utility on Shabbat. It's asur, plus it's not a kli. So those two together make it out of the world of Shabbat unless you designate it before Shabbat. And then we're saying that we have a gzera of Yom Tov atu Shabbat. Just like by Shabbat it's asur, we make it asur by Yom Tov. And same will be true by the delet, by the door. So the Gemara uses this principle. It says, "Daha davar shemalach toli isur letzorach kufotz mekomo shari." Ani mile chadika torat kli alav, haicha deleka torat kli alav. Like here by the bikat and the delet. Lo, Gemara says, "Umiga zrinan." Is that really true that we extend an isur of Shabbat to Yom Tov? Ba'atnan. We have numerous mishnayot in Beitza which seem to indicate otherwise. Bishilim perot derech aruba biyom tov. You're allowed to push the fruit that is on the roof. They used to put out the fruit on the roof to dry the fruit. The name of what that is called when you place the fruit on the roof is called a muksa. It's a muksa for one of two reasons, either because there are tziot that are placed there, which are the figs that are cut open that they allowed to dry over there. Or it's a muksa because you put them out of mind. That's exactly what they're doing there. These are fruit that you're going to leave there for a long duration. Could dry out in the sun. So they would otherwise be muksa. So on Shabbat, you can't do anything with them. On the other hand, on Yom Tov, you can push them towards the hole in the roof, the sunlight, and they'll fall into the house. Automatically, you can push them in there. If you see rain coming, see the clouds coming, you're allowed to push them towards that area and let them fall into the house because it won't be so much work because you're not carrying them downstairs. They're just falling by themselves. But that is permissible on Yom Tov. It's not permissible on Shabbat. So why do we have such a differentiation? Why don't we say that the same din applies? So we say over there, Derech Rabba b'Yom Tov alo b'Shabbat. That's the first problem. Then the second problem of the Gemara says, Miglo gazrinan. Are you sure we not go there? It's not. We have a Mishnah that appears in Megillah. Jazayim ben Yom Tov l'Shabbat alo ochel nefesh bilvad. There is no difference between Shabbat and Yom Tov except for Ochel Nefesh, which implies that anything else between Shabbat and Yom Tov are similar. So things that are muksa and other things like that should apply equally to Shabbat and Yom Tov. Amar Rav Yosef Lokasho, that's not a problem. Ha, Rabbi Eliezer. Ha, Rabbi Yeshua. The authors of these different instances are Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua. The Tanya. This is a brayta that we bumped into already back on Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Bet. Oto ve'etz bino. You have an animal and its child, shenaflu lebor, that fell into a pit. Lezer Omer, this is on Yom Tov, Rabbi Lezer says, Malet Rishon, Amunat Leshochato, you can bring up the first one in order to shecht it, Veshochato, and then you shecht it to use for Yom Tov. Sheni Oselo Parnasabim Komo. And second, when you leave in the pit, and you give it food, you protect it, you take care of it in the pit. Veshvil Shlo Yamut, in order that it shouldn't die. Shomer Malet Rishon, Amunat Leshochato, you can bring up the first one to shecht it. Veshochato, and then you don't shecht it, Umarim, and then you kind of do something tricky, and you bring up the second one, Malet Hashini, Vatzezeh Shochet, Vatzezeh Shochet, you can shecht either one. After you bring the first one up, you can say, ah, it's not the one I wanted, I want the other one to shecht. Then you bring up the other one, because in Yom Tov you're allowed to deal with animals to shecht them. Do it in a backhanded way. You bring up both animals, and then you decide which one you want to shecht. Rabbi Yeshua allows harama. Rabbi Lezer does not allow this harama. Gemara's assumption right now is Rabbi Yeshua would permit tircha on Yom Tov because of ibud mamon, because of loss of money. But just like over here by the animals, he allows you to bring up both animals through a little bit of a tricky way, because he wants you not to lose out. He doesn't want the animals to be damaged by being left in the boar. So he allows you to do some extra work on Yom Tov in order to protect your money, to protect your possessions. So too, he'll be the author of that Mishnah in Beitzah that says that you can push the fruits on Yom Tov into the house if you see rain coming, but you're not allowed to do B'Shabbat. Again, it's a little tircha in order to protect your money. That will be authored by Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Lezer, on the other hand, says you can't. You have to leave the animal down in the pit and feed it down there. You can't bring it up. So he doesn't have this dispensation to allow you to do little tircha, little extra work on Yom Tov in order to protect your possessions. So he'll be the author of that Mishnah that says there's no difference between Yom Tov and Shabbat. That's the Gemara's assumption now, that that's the difference in opinion, is the same difference between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Gemara's going to reject it again. Mimai. Why do you have to say that that's the case? Dilmad kan lo kamar Rabbi Lezer hatamel adel efshar v'parnosa. Over there, the reason Rabbi Lezer says to leave the other animal in the pit is because there's an option for taking care of it. That option is to feed it in the pit and leave it there. So that's a good option. Maybe over here, where he has no option in terms of the rain coming, if he leaves the fruit there, they're going to get ruined on the roof, then he would agree, lo, that you can put it in, you can push it in, even though it's a tircha yom tov, inami. Or the other possibility, the only reason it allows you to take both animals out is because there's a way to do it through a little bit of trickery, which is that you say, I want the first animal, and you say, I don't want it. Then you say about the second animal. Over here, by the fruits, you're doing it directly. You're just pushing them in. There's no trickery about it. You're simply pushing them into the hole. You're doing the tircha without any harama. Maybe over there, maybe he won't allow you to do it. The difference between these Mishnayot is the authorship of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. It's none. We have a Mishnah. Beit Shammai Omrim, Ein Motzim et HaKatan ve'et HaLulav ve'et HaSefer Torah the Reshut HaRabim. Lo Matirim. So this happens to be a Mishnah in Beitzah. A Mishnah that results in a very, very large Machlokot Rishonim, starting with Rashi and Tosafot there on the Daf. But here is a Machlokot about carrying on Yom Tov. Beit Shammai says, Ein Motzim et HaKatan ve'et HaLulav ve'et HaSefer Torah the Reshut HaRabim. You're not allowed to carry out a youngster, Yilulav, and the Sefer Torah, the Reshut HaRabim, on Yom Tov, because they don't believe that there is Hotza'ah on Yom Tov Shelo L'Tzorech. It has to be the Tzorech Ochel Nefesh, and none of these qualify to be considered Tzorech Ochel Nefesh. Since it's not Tzorech Ochel Nefesh, you can't do Hotza'ah on Yom Tov. On the other hand, Beit Hillel Matirim, Beit Hillel says you can carry both Shelo L'Tzorech and Shelo L'Tzorech. L'Tzorech means the Tzorech Ochel Nefesh. Shelo L'Tzorech means even Shelo L'Tzorech Ochel Nefesh, and therefore you're allowed to carry out a katan, a youngster, a lav, or a sefer Torah. The argument over there between the Mishonim is, do you need a tzorech at all? Rashi over there seems to say, Shelo L'Tzorech means Shelo L'Tzorech lav. You don't need any need to take it out. Tosafot argues against Rashi and says, look at the examples in the Mishnah. It's a katan, a lulav, and a sefer Torah. All things that are necessary for you are necessary for Yom Tov. The reason you're allowed to carry is because they have a tzorech Yom Tov. They don't have to be a tzorech Ochel Nefesh, but they have to have a tzorech. If you're just carrying for carrying sake, or not for a tzorech at all of Yom Tov, lo tzorech lal, he disagrees with Rashi and says you may not carry. It has enough gemina in terms of carrying on Yom Tov. Today we're somewhat protected from that because the Eruv, the same way that helps us for Shabbat, will help by Yom Tov. Here's lo tzorech lal, but there's some who believe even with an Eruv up, you can't take things out shelo tzorech lal. Something that has no purpose whatsoever on Yom Tov, maybe you can't carry it, or even on Shabbat, you couldn't carry it there. That machloket between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel about whether tzorech ochel nefesh governs hotzah or not. So now the Gemara wants to suggest that's the difference between them. That Beit Shammai is saying that carrying is limited on Yom Tov. Ein bein Shabbat the Yom Tov ela ochel nefesh bilvad. So that's the focus. Ochel nefesh is the only difference. So carrying Ochel Nefesh is mutar. Carrying Shalom Ochel Nefesh is not mutar. Beit Hillel has a broader perspective than on Yom Tov, which is mi hoil. Hoil v'hiptar, because it was already mutar for Ochel Nefesh, it's already mutar for things that are not Ochel Nefesh. And that's why they allow you to move the peirot into the Aruba. Mar says, wait a minute. Imor d'shmayit le the Beit Shemai Hotza'ah, tiltu mi shemayit le. You just brought me a Mishnah that discusses Hotza'ah, which is a malacha deoraita that Beit Shemai says you're not allowed to do that on Yom Tov. Tiltu mi shemayit le. You're trying to connect between Hotza'ah and Muksa. Muksa and Hotza'ah, one's a din derabbanan of Muksa, the other one's a din deoraita of Hotza'ah. Who says just because Beit Shemai believes you can't do Hotza'ah on Yom Tov, unless it's for Ochel Nefesh Bavad, will also say the same thing with regards to Muksa. Where it says, V'tiltu gufe la mishum hotzahi. The other girsa is, that Rashi has is, Atu tiltu lav tzorech hotzahi. Isn't tiltu a part and parcel of hotza'ah, which is, what is the reason for muksa? So there are a number of reasons given for muksa. This is one of the reasons given for muksa. Here the Gemara says it here as well as in Beitza, that muksa is in place to prevent people from doing hotza'ah. Part of the purpose of muksa is to limit the number of items that you can carry or move around. By limiting the items that you're going to carry around, you also won't come to do hotza'ah. You won't carry them out into the Rishut HaRabim. That's what the Gemara is expressing over here. If Beit Shammai believes something by Hotza'ah, that should carry over into Muksa, because Muksa is a preventative measure for Hotza'ah. They believe something by Hotza'ah, they certainly believe it by Tiltul as well, they're going to believe it by Muksa. That's in general. Muksa has three reasons that are brought down why there is Muksa on Shabbat. One of them is this, to prevent Hotza'ah. The other reason brought down is so that you don't engage with Kelim Le'isur. That's why they're limited, the limitations are much greater as you get to Kelim She'eh Melachtam Le'isur. Things that are muksa machmat chiseron kis. Things like that that are out of your realm on Shabbat. So it prevents you from coming to do isur or melechet isur on Shabbat. The third reason given by the Rambam is for all those people who don't do anything all week anyway. They don't work during the week and they don't work on Shabbat as well. How do they distinguish Shabbat from a weekday? These are people who are retired, people who are not working. They're wealthy and they don't have to work. Therefore, how do they distinguish between their weekday and their Shabbat? The Rambam says that muksa is that differentiating factor. So muksa says that things are different on Shabbat than they are on Yom Tov. They're limited in the scope of items that they can interact with on Shabbat than they are on the weekday, and that'll be a differentiation of Shabbat. So those are the three reasons brought with regards to muksa. Here you have one of them, which is that muksa is a preventative measure with regards to hotza'ah. So Gemara says you can't just say that Beit Shammai says something by hotza'ah and wouldn't think the same thing by tiltul by muksa, because the two are connected. V'af Rav Savala Laha Derova. And Rav also holds of this position of Rava. Dama Rav, Mar Shelo Iganev. A Mar is a hoe, in order that it will not be stolen. Zeh Tilto Shelo L'Torach. That's Tilto, that's not the Torah that's mentioned in our Mishnah. V'Asur. Then it's Asur. Time Mar Shelo Iganev. The reason it's Asur here is because you're moving it so it won't be stolen. Aval L'Torach Kufo, L'Torach Mikomo, Mutar. Had it been for Torach Kufo Mikomo, would be Mutar. A hoe is a Kli. Shmachto the Isur. What Rav is saying is you can't move it so it won't get stolen. That's the equivalent of Michama Letzel. You're doing it simply to protect the item itself. You're not doing it for your utilization on Shabbat. So Rav says the problem with moving the hoe is because you're moving it for its own purpose, for it not to be stolen. But had it been for Tzorach Kufa, Tzorach Makoma, it otherwise would have been Mutar. That is the position of Rava. So the Gemara here says that Rav subscribes to that position of Rava. Ini, is that really true? V'ha Rav Kahana ikla lebei Rav. Kahana came to the house of Rav, or to the base medrash of Rav. V'amar aitu lei shuta lekahana leitev alei. They said they should bring out a mitzuda, a trap for Kahana to sit on. Love the memra. So why would they say that? Why did they express it this way? Bring out this item so that Kahana can sit on it. Lav memra, the davar shemachto l'isur. Isn't it because the mitzudah that they wanted to bring out for him to sit on is something that is melachto l'isur? So therefore, the tzorach gufo in the tzorach makomolo, the only reason they were allowed to move it is because they needed it for him to sit on, which is tzorach gufo. But had it been for tzorach makomo, no. So hachamar lohu. No, the Gemara says, no. This is what they said over there. Shkulu shuta mikamei kahana. Remove the mitzudah so Rav Kahana could sit down. So that would be a case of tzorach makomo. And so that statement shows you that Rav believed that also tzorach makomo was fine. Vibay deima. And some say, hata micham letzel havo. That it was not that they were moving, they wanted to get it out of the way. They didn't want it to get stolen. So they were bringing it in. So you can't do that. So that's why it was said only the tzorach kufo. The only reason they can move it is because they needed it now for Rav Kahana to sit on. So that's why they wanted to move it, Mechamat Tzel. They couldn't move it, so they had waited for a reason. Now they had a reason to move it in, that Rav Kahana could sit on it. But otherwise, it would not have been permissible to move it. But that's why they had to expressly say the reason they were moving it is so that Rav Kahana could sit on it. Because there was no reason to sit in that place. The problem wasn't that it was in a place that they wanted to sit. The problem was that the place was going to get stolen or get ruined. So the only reason they could do it is to explicitly say that we're moving it for Rav Kahana to sit on. But not that they don't believe that Tzorach Makomo would have been a good enough reason to move it. Of Mari Bar Rachel, Havalei Hai Beisad Yuta B'Shimsho. He had this mattress or this pillow that was sitting out in the sun. So this is a classic case of Mechamat Tzel. He wants to move the pillow inside. Atta the Kamei de Rovo, came in front of a Rovo. We already know Rovo's opinion. When it comes to Kli Shem Lachal de Heter, he believes he can move it, Mechama de Tzel. So it's exactly what he paskins for him. Amalei, Mao de Tiltilinu, Mari Baravgel says to Rovo, can I carry this in? Amalei Shari says Mutar, because it's Mechama de Tzel, Kli Shem Lachal de Heter, no problem. Itle Yachrina, Mari Baravgel says, I have another one. I don't need it. Can I still move it? Chazad Orchim, Rovo says back to him, even if you don't need it, it's good for your guests, if you have guests coming in. Says, Idli na milorchim. It says, I have sufficient pillows for myself and my guests, so can I still bring it in? Amarlei, so Rava says back to Megalita datech, dekirabba svirlach. Or again, the gersa could be kidevaye svirlach. That you hold like rabba, or you hold like a baye, that when it comes to klishim lachal the heter, it's only mutar the tzorach kufo, the tzorach mikomo. Michama the tzel is not mutar. So he says, I see from all the questions that you're posing to me that you're uncomfortable with my psak. So Rava says to him, you're uncomfortable that I'm allowing you to move it, Michal Mitzel, because you keep trying to push back against me. So it says, therefore, the Kuli Amoshari. Anybody else asks me, Mutar the Gamre, that's the psak alacha. The Didach, Asir. For you, it's Asur, you're right. If you are subscribed to the opinion of Rabbi or Abaye, then you're right. If you're a Talmud of theirs and you subscribe to their opinion, then you really can't move it because it's Michal Mitzel. For anybody else, psak is like me, like Rava, I'm going to pass from them that you can't move it, Michama de Tzel. Amar Rabbi Ava, Amar Rabbi Chir Bar Ashi, Amar Rav. Michabdot Shel Milta. These are brushes that are made out of cloth. Table brushes that are made out of cloth. Mutar the Taltalan Bishabbat. Those you can move on Shabbat, because they're mutar to use on Shabbat to clear off the table. Aval Shel Mara Lo. The one of the date tree, meaning palm branches. The brushes that are made out of palm branches, those you may not move on Shabbat, because those are used to sweep the floor. And their floors were dirt floors. Since they were dirt floors, we're afraid of Meshavet Gumot, that you would straighten out the holes, flatten out the floor, be a problem of Melech on Shabbat. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Afshel Tamara. He says, even one, a Tamara, a palm branch, brush, you can move. But Maya Skinan, what's going on here? Ilem Letzorach Kufo Letzorach Mekomo. If you need the brush for something that's Mutar on Shabbat, or you need the place where the brush is, Bahal Lemer Avshel Tamara Lo, why would Rav say that you can't move it? It's Kalish Melechtoli Yisur. That is Tzorach Kufo, Tzorach Mekomo. We just saw that Rav agrees that that's Mutar. So why would you ever think he can't move it? Ah, Rav Kavrova Svirilet. Rav holds like Rava that we just said before. Ela Michama Letzel. That you're trying to move it to protect it. Bahalim Rav Elazar, Afshel Tmara. Even Rav Elazar was Mati over here. You think that he would be Mati or Klishim Lachtol the Isur, Michama Letzel? We don't find any opinion like that. That you're allowed to move Klishim Lachtol the Isur for its own protection, for its own needs. That we don't find. So why would he ever be Mati over here? Mar says, no, the case here is Ola Michama Letzel. Case is Michama Letzel. Michama Letzel, that's why you cannot move it. Michama Letzel for a Klishim Lachtol the Heter is fine. That's why you can move the table brush made out of cloth. The palm branch brush is Klishim Lachtol the Isur. That you can't move Michama Letzel. And that's the sack of Rav. Belazar who comes and says, Afshel Tamara, don't read it that way. He says, V'chein Amar Rav Elazar. Rav Elazar agrees to that position of Rav. What we brought over here is wrong, that Rav Elazar is not really disagreeing, he's agreeing with that position of Rav, that a table brush is mutar, Michama Letzel, because it's a klishim lachtol the heter, whereas a palm branch brush is a klishim lachtol isur, and therefore it would be asur, Michama Letzel. The next Mishnah. Kol ha-kelim ha-nitalim b'Shabbat, any keli that can be carried on Shabbat, shivrehem nitalim imahem. Their broken shards can be carried with them. Ubuvad, shiosim e'im melacha, as long as they have some function. The shivre avira, if you have broken shards from a trough, chasod ben epiyachavit, you can use those shards to cover over a barrel or a pitcher. Shivre zechuchit, you have broken shards of glass, chasod ben epiyapach, cover over a smaller jug. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi qualifies that and says, uvad shiosim e'im melachtan. They have to not only do, have utility and usefulness in Shabbat, they have to do something akin to their original utilization, their original purpose, which is shivre avira, the original areva as a trough that's used for kneading dough in it. The tzukla tochan mikpeh, that you can pour into it a thick dish. You can use them to hold something like a porridge, something that thick that you can pour into it. Because that's similar to what it did before in terms of the areva. The areva was used for kneading dough for thick items that you move around in there. So tovir, it's functioning the same way. Shel zichuchit l'tzuk l'tocho shemen. Just like glass was used before to keep liquids in it, so too, the shorter glass, if you can put oil in it, then that's also doing the similar or kin to the original function of the kli. So we have a machloket here in the Mishnah when it comes to shards or broken pieces of a kli. In order to be functional and useful on Shabbat, so they simply have to have utility, and that's enough to keep them within the realm of Shabbat and not be mukse. Or, according to Rabbi Yehuda, do they have to do something similar or akin to what they did originally? I'm Rabbi Yehuda Mishmo. Machloket shenishberu mi erev Shabbat. This machloket our Mishnah is only when they broke prior to Shabbat. That Rabbi Yehuda holds that if they do somewhat akin to their original malacha, then fine. If they do another malacha, lo. Umar savar afilu mein malacha acheret. Even if they are now useful, you have utility for something else, fine. Aval nishberu b'Shabbat. If they broke on Shabbat itself, divrei akol mutarim. Everybody agrees they're mutar. Ho muchanim agabei avien. Mutar. Since their kli, their father here, meaning the original kli that came into Shabbat, ho, was mutar, wasn't buksa on Shabbat. So therefore, when it breaks on Shabbat, the shards of the babies have no difference than the original kli. The original kli was mutar, so too the shards are mutar. There's no reason to make them muksa coming into Shabbat. Muksa is determined at benesh mashot. So therefore, at Benesh Mashot, upon entry into Shabbat, you have to look at the items. Rabbi Yehuda says, shards only considered to be useful or not muksa coming into Shabbat if they do something similar to their original purpose. But not their muksa. The Tanakam says no. If they are useful, they're not muksa coming into Shabbat. On Shabbat, since they cleared the threshold, Benesh Mashot, they weren't muksa coming into Shabbat because the whole kli wasn't muksa. When they become shards on Shabbat, they're completely mutar. Motiv Rav Zutrai, is that really true? Mesikin b'kelin, vein mesikin b'shivrei kelim. Says a din with regards to Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov. You're allowed to heat things up on Yom Tov. So here it says you can stoke the fire, you can use for firewood, kelim. But ein mesikin b'shivrei kelim, you're not allowed to do it with broken shards of a kli. Did nishbru emat? When did they break? Ilei medishbru b'erev Yom Tov. If they broke before Yom Tov, etzim ba'almaninu. They're no worse than a piece of wood. So why can't you throw them into the fire? Why can't you use them to stoke the fire? They're no worse than a piece of wood coming into Yom Tov. They should know what's wrong with them. Allah be Yom Tov. Must be that it happened on Yom Tov itself. Tani, and then we still have that differentiation. Mesigim b'kelim ve'mesigim b'shivrei kelim. You can use a whole keli. You may not use a broken shard of a keli. Who's the author of that position, according to you? According to you, everybody agrees if it breaks on Shabbat, it breaks on Yom Tov, there is no muksa. We have no author for that position. El itmar, hochi itmar. If you want to state the statement of Amar Yehuda Mishmol, this is the way it should be worded. Machloket shenishberu b'Shabbat. The machloket in our Mishnah is when they broke on Shabbat. Tamar savar muchanu. One of them holds, meaning the Tanakamu believes, that since you came into Shabbat, the kli was heter. Therefore, when it breaks on Shabbat, it retains its status of heter. It doesn't become muksa on Shabbat. Umar savar noladu. And Rabbi Yehuda believes that it's nolad, that you've now created something new on Shabbat. If it does me'im malacha, if it does something similar akin to the original malacha, you're right, you didn't create anything new. It functioned this way before, it functions this way now, you're talking about the same item. But if it changes its function on Shabbat, that's nolad. That's you created something new, with new utility on Shabbat, that's muksa. Val me'erev Shabbat, divrei hakol mutarim. If it broke already before Shabbat, everybody believes it's mutar. Ho v'hu chenu l'malacha mi'bod yom. Because even if it changed its utility before Shabbat, it can now be used for something else that was already known before Shabbat. Since it's known before Shabbat and you brought it to Shabbat, you had in mind to use it in that way on Shabbat. There's no muksa on Shabbat if it breaks beforehand. So Tani Chado, we have one brayta that says misikim b'kelim ve'im misikim b'shivrei kelim, that one can stoke the fire, encourage the fire, promote the fire with kelim, but not with shivrei kelim, not with broken shards. But Tani Yidach, we have another brayta that says k'shem shemisikim b'kelim kach misikim b'shivrei kelim. There's no difference between kelim and shards of kelim. But Tani Yidach, we have a third brayta that says ein misikim lo b'kelim v'lo b'shivrei kelim. You can't do any of this. You can't use any of these items on Yom Tov for this purpose. So my answer is, we have these three brayot, they're authored by three different Tanaim. Who are they? Ha, Rabbi Yehuda, Ha, Rabbi Shimon, Ha, Rabbi Nechemiah. These are the three authors of these brayot. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon argue about whether there's muksa on Shabbat and on Yom Tov as well. So therefore, the brayot that says you can use kelim and not shivrei kelim, that's authored by Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda believes there's muksa on Yom Tov, and therefore he differentiates between a full kli And a shever kli, similar to what we saw in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah says that if the shard of the kli doesn't do something akin to the original work, it's muksa on Yom Tov. Or muksa on Shabbat, then it would be muksa on Yom Tov as well. So too, he's the author of this opinion that shivrei kelim are problematic on Shabbat and Yom Tov. The brighter that says that we don't worry about not kelim and not shivrei kelim is authored by Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon believes there is no muksa. No muksa, doesn't matter if it's the whole kli or the shever kli. We don't have a din in muksa. It's interesting because many places we see that Rabbi Shimon, even though he doesn't hold of muksa, he does hold of nolat. The Amoraim seem to say within Rabbi Shimon's opinion that nolat is muksa even according to Rabbi Shimon. But here you see the Gemara clearly taking a position that this nolat, or it looks like nolat, Rabbi Shimon thinks it's totally mutar. Rabbi Nechemiah is the author of the last braita that says you can't use not the kli and not the shards of the kli. Rabbi Nechemiah we just bumped into at the beginning of today's daf. Nechemiah says that you can only use a kli for its primary purpose. Primary purpose of a kli is not to be mesik, is not to stoke the fire or to use it to fuel the fire. That's not the primary utilization of a kli. And because of that, you can't carry. You can't carry it to do that. You can't carry it to do this. Doesn't matter if it's a short or a regular kli. Therefore, Rabbi Nechemiah will be the author of that bright that says you can't use kelim or shivei kelim for hasakan yom tov. Amar Rav Nachman. Hane livne destroyer mi binyono. These bricks that were left over from a building project, shari latiltilinu. You're allowed to carry them on Shabbat. The chazon the mizgalayu. They're no longer designated for building. They're no longer designated for a muksa purpose. And what do you do with extra bricks that are left over from a building site? Use them to sit on. They're good for sitting up chairs or sitting up the little stools to sit on, and therefore they're mutar to be metaltel because they have a purpose. Sharginu vadai aktsinu. If he stacks them up into a pile after the building, so it depends what the bricks look like. And if they look like a building site here in Israel, after they finish building with everything strewn all over the place and all the garbage is out on the side, then you know that they don't plan on using them for building sites, then they are mutar because you can use them for sitting on. Therefore, they have a purpose on Shabbat that is mutar, and you can use them on Shabbat. You can move them around on Shabbat. On the other hand, if you see them nicely stacked on a pallet next to the building site, you know that they're going to reuse them for something else. They're planning on taking them to the next building site. Therefore, they remain muksib. Remember of Nachman or Shmuel. Cheres kitana, mutar, letatel, bechatzer, aval, bekarmit, lo. A small piece of cheres. You're allowed to carry it in the chatzer, but you're not allowed to carry it in the karmelit. Now here we're talking about not moving it dalet amot, not a problem of hotza'ah, simply a problem of muksa. Can you take a small shard of cheres and move it? Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel says you can only move it within the chatzer, but not in the karmelit. Rav Nachman didei amar, Rav Nachman himself says, afilu bekarmelit, avo brishut rabim lo. You can even move it around and pick it up in a karmelit, but not in the public domain. For Rav Amar, afilu brishut rabim. Rav says you can even move it around in the brishut rabim. The question here is, what do you utilize this small shard of earthenware for? So the answer would be to cover something, to put it on top of something. The opinion of Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel is that's only true in the chatzer. Where do you have kelim? Where do you have items that need to be covered? That's in the courtyard. So therefore you can pick it up. By the time you get to a karmelit, there is nothing there that you're going to cover. People don't keep their possessions, don't keep their utensils out in the karmelit. But then Rav Nachman himself says, no, even in a karmelit, because sometimes people leave something there, or sometimes there's spit or spittle on the floor and you want to cover it. So there's a reason to use this shard of pottery to cover something in the karmelit. And then Rava comes along and says, even in a reshut rabbim, because since it's a kli, and it's okay to carry it in a chatzer, and it's a kli to carry in a karmelit, then it's also got to be a kli that you can pick it up in reshut rabbim. We don't have this idea that you're half muksa, half not muksa. Either you are mutar, or you're not mutar. If it's mutar to use in these areas, in the chatzer and the karmelit, it's also mutar to pick it up in Reshut Rabim. And that's what the Gemara says. Va'az de Rova letameh. De Rova havaka azel beritka de mechuza. He was walking along the main thoroughfares of mechuza. Idvase manetino. He got his shoe dirty. He stepped into something over here. He stepped into something disgusting. He stepped into some cement, some mud, some other disgusting thing that got in his shoe. Atashame, his servant, or his helper comes. Shako chaspa, takes a shard of pottery. Kamechaperle, and he was scraping it off. Just so you know that the word kaper or kapar, Rashi says it in Chumash as well, means to scrape off, not what we look at it to be atoned for. And that's why the utensils in the Mikdash that were used for capturing the dam were called kaparot. They're called kaparot because Kohen used to wipe his finger on it from the blood. So that's why Rashi says over there they're called kaparot, because they wiped themselves off on them. So here you have chaspa mechaperle. So you see here that Rava believes that you can pick up a shard of pottery out in the Reshut Rabim, even though technically it shouldn't be able to be moved, it's muksa, because he believes if it's not muksa in the chatzer, it's not muksa in the karmel, it's not muksa in Shutarabim. And you see he acted on that when he allowed his shamei, his helper, to come and scrape this off the shoe with a shard of pottery found in the Shutarabim. No, tiltul is muksa. That's the way the Gemara describes. Tiltul means to pick something out, to move it, because of muksa. We're not talking about hotza'ah. It's not a problem of movement, which I mentioned before. We're not talking about moving it dalat amot. It had to be within dalat amot of him, so there's no problem of moving it. He just picked it up, something right below his foot that they had there, and he utilized it. Ramo be rabbanan kala. The rabbanan started to scream at him not to do this, at Rova's servant or his helper. The Rova says, Lomistai de lo gemire. And they know what's so bad here. Not only do they not learn themselves, but they want to teach what they don't know. He says, here they don't know the halacha. And so now they're screaming at my shame that he's taking up the shard of pottery. And he says, what's worse is that not only they don't know what they're talking about, now they're trying to scream and tell others that they're doing wrong based on what they don't know. The Rava says that's the worst. Ilo b'chatzer avai, had I been in a courtyard, milo havachazi l'chusur be'mono, what if this shard of pottery and useful to cover something over? Therefore, it's useful out here. That's what I said before, which is that Rava believes that if it has utility somewhere on some domain on Shabbat, that makes it ois muksa. It's not muksa anymore. If it's not muksa there, it's not going to muksa anywhere, even though you don't have that same purpose in these other places. If you have a cover of a chavit, was nichteta means that it was destroyed, pulverized, crushed. What was crushed here is the chavit, was the barrel or the pitcher was crushed, and the cover is still intact. Mutar the taltel b'shabbat, you can still move the cover around on Shabbat. Tani nami ochi, we have a similar brayta that supports that, which is megufa shenichteta. He ushbara mutar the taltelah b'shabbat. So if you have a barrel which was crushed or destroyed, you can take the cover plus shvara, the broken pieces of the barrel on Shabbat. Lo yispot mimenu shever lasot batakli v'lismoch ba'karei mita. You should not smooth out, cut a piece here in order to make it into a cover or to use it as a cup to put under the legs of the bed so the bed doesn't sink into the mud. Mzarka bashpa, asur. But if you throw it into the garbage, then it's problematic. So lo yispot here is a problem of, you're not allowed to take, if you have these shards that are sharp and you want to break them or make it so you don't have these sharp edges, that you can't do. Because then you're, what Rashi says, makab patish. You're finishing off a kli to make it useful on Shabbat here. You're now taking this shard, fixing it so you can use it as a cover. You're shaping it so it can be the right cover. Shape that you can use it for a cup under a bed leg. That you can't do on Shabbat. If the shards are there and they're the right size and happen to be useful, that's fine. You can use them. But you can't go then and fix the shards so they become the useful for you. The other thing is, if it's thrown into the garbage, then we think it's considered to be mukzah because he threw it out. That means he has no intention for its use on Shabbat. So matkidaf rabbapa elmiata zark leid lime. He throws his cloak into the garbage on Shabbat. Achanami dasur. You can't go pick up your cloak. If you see someone throw out their cloak or clothes into the garbage, and now you want to utilize it on Shabbat, why can't you go in there and take it? It's not a muksa just because he threw it in the garbage. So why over here are you saying because he threw it in the garbage, it's automatically asur? If he threw it in before Shabbat into the garbage, then it's asura. Because then he already, Begilu Dat here, that he thinks that it's not useful on Shabbat. If it's not useful on Shabbat, then it's muksa coming into Shabbat because it was in the garbage going into Shabbat. When it's a shiver kli on Shabbat, it doesn't lose its original status of heter just because he throws it into the garbage. It came in as heter, remains heter, if someone can make use out of it. Amar bar hamdure, amar shmuel. Kromiot shel machatzelet. If you have the pieces of a mat, mat is made up of many reeds. If you have one of those strips of the reeds that moved away or fell away from the mat's unwinding, unraveling. So now you have pieces of it. Mutar l'taltalan b'Shabbat. You can use them on Shabbat. You can carry them on Shabbat. My time off. Amarova, Rava explained. Bar hamdure asperli. He explained to me. Machatzel gufa l'may chazio. What's the point of the mat itself? The chesuya be'afra. You put it on the floor to cover over the dirt so that you can sit down or you can walk over there. So that's why you have the mat. Hananami chazin l'chesuya be'hoti nofet. So too, these pieces of the mat that unraveled, you can use them individually to cover over anything that is disgusting or dirty. You can use them in the same way. So since you can use them in the same way, they remain or retain their status of heter on Shabbat. Amar Rav Zeira Amar Rav, shiarei pruz miot, asur l'taltalam b'Shabbat. If you have remainders of clothing, you have rags basically, you cannot carry them on Shabbat. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, wait a minute, that doesn't make so much sense. If they were useful as rags before Shabbat, why can't you use them as rags now? Rags are not inherently muksa. They're only muksa if they have served no purpose on Shabbat. A rag is useful on Shabbat just like it's useful during the week. You can wipe things up with it. You can wipe off the table with it. Clean the floor with it. Why aren't they mutar on Shabbat? So Rabbi explains to us, Amar Rabbi, b'mat b'niyo, chayman gimel gimel. We're talking about rags or leftover pieces of clothing that are less than 3 by 3. Gimel gimel etzba'ot. Lo chazin lo yanin v'lo le'ashirim. They're not useful for either poor people or rich people. They serve no purpose. They're below the threshold of being useful anymore. They're considered to be worthless at that point. Since they are worthless, then they are mukse on Shabbat because they serve no purpose. If they come over the threshold where they become useful to an ani or a shir, then that might be different, because then they are useful on Shabbat, they're useful to somebody, they retain a shame kleed with them. Here, where they fell below the basic threshold of what's considered to be a beged, they're no longer kleed, they're no longer useful on Shabbat, and therefore they have a din of mukse. Alright, we'll stop over here.